Osho, this, a thousand times this, the very essence of Zen. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 5.
Beloved Bhagwan, once there was a Zen master named Sikito, meaning Stonehead, so called because he constructed a hut on a big flat stone which he found in a mountain and lived there. One day, a young monk in training came to see him. Sikito asked, "Where have you come from?" The monk answered, "From Kozai, Master." Sikito then said, "In Kozai, the famous Zen master Basso lives. Have you ever seen him?" "Yes, I have," the monk replied. The master, pointing at a big piece of firewood nearby, then asked a most extraordinary question. "Does Master Basso look like this?" Unfortunately, the monk, with whatever Zen ability he might have had, was no match for Sikito. He blinked his eyes and could not utter a word. The astonished monk returned all the way back to Kozai, met the great teacher Basso, and told him of the story. Hearing it, Basso asked, "Was the firewood you saw big or small?" "It was very big," the monk answered. "You are a man of great strength," was Basso's unexpected reply. "Why, Master?" queried the monk, at a loss as to how to take it. Basso then said, "You have brought here such a big piece of firewood all the way from Sikito. You surely are a man of great strength, aren't you?"
Manisha, before I discuss the anecdote concerning a Zen master named Sikito, meaning Stonehead, I have to answer the quick magazine in German. As far as Stonehead is concerned, he is standing behind you. Zen Master Niskriya. Can you find a more bigger Stonehead? The Quick Magazine needs a quick reply. Because I have been talking about one world, one humanity, I knew some idiot is going to ask this question. The Quick magazine has asked if you would offer himself to be personally the world emperor, is a question, with 18 hours sleep, you could rule, but that would be in a dream. It raises many questions. I have talked about one world, but I have never meant to be the emperor of this insane world. Jesus has replied for me, "My kingdom is not of this world." There is a vast universe beyond the small mind of the politician. And those who become themselves also become emperors of the universe. There is no competition between Vaso and Buddha. At the highest peak of consciousness, there is no competition. Everybody is an emperor. So first, to remind Quick and its readers that I am already the emperor of my own consciousness. I don't want to come down from my peaks to the dark valleys of your unconsciousness. But I can point the way how you can also become an emperor. To be an emperor, an empire is not needed, but enlightenment. That is the only empire that remains. All other empires are made of the stuff dreams are made of. As far as I am concerned, even in my dream, I would not accept to be the emperor of this insane asylum you call the world. Secondly, it has to be understood that my 18 hours of sleep are not of the same quality as your sleep. Just as my waking hours are not of the same quality as your waking. I am awake even in my sleep. You are fast asleep even in your waking. Don't forget it. my statement for one humanity, for one world, does not imply an emperor in it. The world has been tortured by people who wanted to be emperors, Alexander, Genghis Khan, Tamerlan, Adolf Hitler. It is time to understand that the world can only be won in the hands of something like UNO. In which every part of the earth can be represented, and the most intelligent people can be chosen from different sections of humanity to join hands together, not to choose an emperor, but to create an intelligent committee which can have artists, scientists, poets, only not include the politicians. The creative people are not interested in dominating. They want to create. Whatever is their dimension of creation, it may be science, it may be painting, it may be music, it may be poetry, it may be anything that beautifies and makes the world rich. Sinner, more intelligent, more comfortable, more rich in every possible way. The days of individuals becoming emperors are over. Only a committee of different creative intelligences can serve the world. Even to use the word rule is against me. UNO or any other name if given all the armies of the world naturally will have to dissolve them, because for whom you are going to have such vast armies? Millions of people unnecessarily doing left, right. For whom you will go on piling up nuclear weapons. In my conception of one world, there is not a place for an emperor. I will refuse with absolute categorically the very idea of a person being the ruler of the world. I am included. Nobody has the right to rule over anybody else. Yes, you can serve. And I am serving in my own way. And I have got my own empire, my own people who are trying in every possible way to reach to the Himalayan peaks of consciousness. Perhaps the poor journalist who wrote this question in quick will not be able to understand. The days of personal empires, emperors are over. The world needs all kinds of creative people to join together, forget the very idea of a world emperor. The whole history has been murderous, full of wars, because of this insane desire to dominate. My whole teaching is just be yourself. Never interfere into anybody else's freedom. Freedom is my ultimate value, my God. Now, about the Zen master Sekito, meaning a stone head, Niskriya, why you have sit down? Stand up. Let everybody see what does it mean to have a stone head. Okay, sit down. Once there was a Zen master, Sekito, so called because he constructed a hut on a big flat stone, which he found in a mountain and lived there. One day a young monk in training came to see him. Sekito asked, "Where have you come from?" The monk answered, "From Kosei Master." Sekito then said, "In Kosei, the famous Zen master Basho lives. Have you ever seen him?" Yes, I have. The monk replied. The master, pointing at a big piece of firewood nearby, then asked a most extraordinary question. Does Master Basso look like this? Unfortunately, the monk, with whatever Zen ability he might have had, was no match for Sekito. He blinked his eyes and could not utter a word. The astonished monk returned all the way back to Kosei, met the great teacher Basso, and told him of the story. Hearing it, Basso asked, "Was the firewood you saw big or small?" "It was very big," the monk answered. "You are a man of great strength," was Basso's unexpected reply. "Why, master?" queried the monk, at a loss as to how to take it. Basso then said, "You have brought here such a big piece of firewood all the way from Sekito. You surely are a man of great strength, are not you?" Basso is saying nothing about the firewood. He is saying about the thought the poor monk has carried from one mountain to another mountain. Sekito has not meant the firewood. He simply meant this. It was just by chance that there was a pile of firewood. But he was pointing to this, not to the firewood. The monk missed the point. He thought perhaps Basso may be able to explain, but again he missed, because Basso said nothing about the firewood, nothing about Sekito, but about the strength of the monk, which seemed to be absolutely irrelevant. But Basso is right. He is saying you unnecessarily carried such a load from mountain to mountain. Sekito has not pointed to the firewood, he has pointed to thisness of things, to suchness of things. The whole Zen is concerned with this. Basso, also called Matsu, was said to be a strange-looking man. He walked like a cow, and looked around like a tiger. He could touch his nose with his tongue and had two rings on the soles of his feet. His chief disciples were Hayakujo. We talked about him yesterday. And Nansen, we talked about him also. His disciples numbering in all more than 100. 100 people became enlightened under Basu. He defeated even Gautam Buddha. He defeated even Bodhidharma. But his method was as unique as his way of his style. Do you see that he walked like an animal, signifying the natural, the innocent, signifying no head, no headiness, but only a heart that can understand without being told, can understand without being said a single word. He was certainly one of the most strange masters who have walked on the earth. Nobody has walked like a cow. Not even in 10,000 years any Hindu who worship cows have tried to walk like a cow. But don't be mistaken about his walking like a cow. It shows his softness, it shows his motherliness, it shows his feminine receptivity, but he also looked around like a tiger. He was soft for those who could understand softness, and he was hard for those who can understand only hardness. He was a master of many just for this reason. Basu was just a cow. Bodhidharma was just a tiger. with a heart of a cow. So soft that he has written the best poetry that exists in the world. His paintings are of immense beauty. His statements contain the very truth, but if you wanted to be a disciple, and you were seeking someone to chop your head, Basu was perfectly the right person. To sow his strangeness, the story says he could touch his nose with his tongue. It is very difficult. I know only one man, and I have traveled around the world, who can move his ear lobes. Have you ever tried? It is absolutely impossible. Because there is no nerve system that you can reach to your own ear lobe. You cannot do anything. It is just there. Donkeys can do, but you cannot. This man was one of my fellow students in the university. He became famous just for the act that he could move his ears according to his will. When he was introduced to me, I said, "This is nothing, because I have seen so many donkeys doing it. It is not worth anything. Just stop it." He said, "You are the first man." Rather than appreciating, "You are calling me a donkey." I said, "That is my appreciation, because donkeys have such big ears and move their ears so easily." Few people I have seen who can touch their nose with their tongue. Particularly, they belong to some yogic school. There is an stupid idea that if you can touch your nose with your tongue, you will become immortal. And few idiots try for years to lengthen their tongue by hanging weights on the tongue. Even I have seen people who have cut the tongue inside where it is joined, so it becomes looser and they can touch their nose. But by touching your nose, you will not touch eternity. Your nose, anybody can touch. Just coming in, I touched Abhirbhava's nose. Anybody can pinch anybody else's nose. Nose is not immortality, but Vaso, just out of playfulness, used to touch his nose with his tongue, saying that don't take religion seriously. Take it as playfully as possible. A monk asked Vaso, "What is the Buddha?" Vaso answered, "Mind is the Buddha." The monk asked, "What is the way?" "No mind is the way," answered Vaso. What a great and beautiful answer. Because even Buddha is a thought in your mind. Even Buddha has said, if I come on the path in your meditation, just cut my head immediately, remove me. That's what Vaso is saying. Buddha is mind. No mind is the way. The monk then asked, "Are the Buddha and the way somewhat different?" Vaso replied, "The Buddha is like stretching out the hand. The way is like clenching the fist." Opening the hand or closing the hand are not two things, although they appear as two. Just let your mind be silent and settled, and you have entered into no mind. There is no difference. The difference is only of an open hand and a fist. not a much difference, not a difference that can be called difference, but yet apparently it is different, but only apparently. Manisha is asking, beloved Bhagavan, more than any other understanding of life, Zen is uncompromising. There is no recourse to interesting explanations from the head or moving expressions from the heart. Either you get the experience or you don't. There is no middle way. Could you please comment? Manisha, there is no way, neither middle nor extreme. Way means distance, and you are already there. I teach you the no way, just relax and you are there. You have not taken even a step on any way. Before we enter into thisness, the bamboos are asking for few laughter. You cannot be hard on poor bamboos. Old Desi Smith dies and shows up at the pearly gates. She is let in by Saint Peter. You can just settle down anywhere you want, he says. Well, says Desi, I would like to be with my husband, who has been dead for many years. Okay, replies Peter. What is his name? John. She says, my God. Cries Peter, we have here hundreds of John Smiths. Is there anything about him that would set him apart? Desi thinks for a while and then says, yes, there is. He told me before he died that if I was ever unfaithful to him, he would turn in his grave. Aha! Says Peter, I know him. He's the one we call Whirling Smith. Kowalski gets a job at a big sawmill. But on the first morning, he calls the foreman over to where he is working and says, boss, one of my fingers has gone with the saw. Well, demands the foreman, what did you do wrong? I don't know, admits Kowalski. I just touched it like this. Shit, there goes another one. Kovalevsky comes home unexpectedly from work and goes upstairs to the bedroom. He finds his wife, Gertie, lying naked on the bed, looking very flushed and with her hand clutched over her heart. "My God," shouts Kovalevsky, "what is going on?" "Ah," moans Gertie, "phone the doctor. I think I am having a heart attack." "What?" shouts Kovalevsky. He turns and races downstairs to the phone and dials up Dr. Bones. Just then, his little daughter comes up to him and tugs at his sleeve. "Dad," she says, "there is a man hiding naked in the bedroom closet." "What?" shouts Kovalevsky. He drops the phone and races back to the bedroom. He opens the closet door and finds his best friend standing there without any clothes on. "George," shouts Kovalevsky, "you should be ashamed of yourself. My wife is having a heart attack and here you are frightening little children." Vedana, give your first beat for everybody to go absolutely crazy in gibberish. Everybody goes into absolute silence. Gather your energy within yourself. Close your eyes, no movement. This 1,000 times this Nivedana, relax. Just be dead. Nivedana, come back to life. Even the bamboos are silent.
Yes, Bhagwan.